Welcome back, everyone. We're diving into something pretty deep today. We're going to be looking at excerpts from Dr. Mathewson's New Testament theology lecture.
Ooh, exciting.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Specifically, we're going to be focusing on his thoughts on the New Covenant.
Okay.
You know, it's a concept that we hear about all the time, but what does it really mean for us today?
Right.
That's what we're going to try to figure out.
Well, Mathewson really jumps right into it with a challenge.
Okay.
He says that we tend to think of the New Covenant as just an improvement on the Old Covenant.
Okay.
Like a software update.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a 2.0 or something. But he said, no, it's way more radical than that.
Okay, I'm interested. So if it's not just an upgrade, what is it?
Well, Mathewson says the Old Covenant, although well-intentioned, just couldn't fully deal with human sin.
Okay.
It's like trying to fix a leak with duct tape.
Oh, okay.
The New Covenant, though, gets to the root of the problem. It's like a total overhaul, not just a quick fix.
Wow, that's a powerful image. So what does this, like, total overhaul look like?
Mathewson points directly to Jesus.
Okay.
He argues that Jesus' death and resurrection are the very foundation of the New Covenant. It's where it all happens.
So it's not just a symbolic sacrifice.
No, it's action. It's a whole new era that's beginning, a new way to connect with God. And it's all possible because of Jesus.
Mm.
Think about it. Mm. Think about how we see Easter.
Yeah.
Doesn't it look different when you think about it like this?
It really does. It becomes less about the historical event and more about the reality of the change it brought.
Exactly. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Mathewson is very firm on this point.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit isn't just some kind of Christian add-on.
Right.
It's firmly rooted in the Old Testament, you know, in prophecies like Joel 2 and Ezekiel 36.
Oh, that's interesting. So the Holy Spirit isn't just a New Testament concept.
Not at all. It was promised and anticipated way before Jesus even came on the scene. This actually helps us to see how Christianity isn't something totally new, but a continuation and fulfillment of what came before.
Hmm. That's really fascinating. It's like the Holy Spirit has been there all along.
Exactly. It was always part of the plan. And speaking of plans, this idea of the New Covenant, it doesn't just appear out of nowhere.
Yay.
Mathewson points out that even when the term New Covenant isn't specifically used, we can see its elements all over the New Testament.
Oh, okay.
Forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the formation of a new people of God. It's like it's woven into the fabric of the New Testament.
It's like a secret code running through it all. Can you give us an example of where we see this?
Oh, absolutely. Look at Ephesians 2:1-22. Paul, without even using the words New Covenant, echoes Isaiah's prophecies of restoration.
Mm.
But now it's fulfilled in the unity of both Jew and Gentile through Christ.
That's incredible. It really shows how connected the Old and New Testaments are. It's not just a random collection of stories and letters. It's all one big story unfolding over time.
Exactly. And Mathewson doesn't just focus on Paul.
Okay.
He brings up Hebrews 8:7-13. The author there directly quotes Jeremiah 31.
Right.
He's making a case for why the New Covenant is so important.
Okay, yeah.
And then there's this really interesting observation about 7 Peter 1, possibly reflecting a covenant structure.
Okay, hold on. Covenant structure in 7 Peter 1, what does that even mean?
Well, some scholars believe that 7 Peter 1 is structured in a way that mirrors traditional covenant language.
Oh, okay.
You know, you have elements of promise, obligation, and blessing, kind of like we see in the Old Testament covenants.
Okay.
It's subtle, but it's a really interesting detail that adds another layer to our understanding.
It's amazing how much depth there is to these texts and makes you want to go back and reread them with fresh eyes. Mathewson also talks about revelation in the New Covenant, right?
Yeah, he does. He makes a pretty bold statement, actually.
Fine.
He says that the entire book of Revelation can be seen through the lens of the New Covenant. He points to the blessings for obedience and the warnings for disobedience that are found at the beginning and the end of the book.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like those classic covenant agreements. You uphold your end of the deal, you'll be blessed. You break it, there will be consequences. But, I mean, Revelation is also full of all this symbolic language and imagery.
Right.
How can we be sure we're interpreting it correctly?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's something scholars have been debating for centuries.
Yeah.
Mathewson argues that the key is to focus on the core message. What is the text really trying to say?
Mm.
And he believes that at its heart, Revelation is all about the New Covenant and what it means for God's people.
So it's not just about decoding cryptic symbols, but understanding the bigger picture.
Precisely. And one detail that Matthew Easton highlights is the warnings in Revelation 22:1-19. You know, those warnings about adding to or taking away from the prophecy.
Right.
He points out that those warnings are specifically addressed to believers, not to outsiders.
Oh, that's interesting. It's like a reminder that even though we're under the new covenant, we still have to live it out faithfully.
Exactly. Matthewson actually connects those warnings back to the Old Testament, particularly Deuteronomy, where we see similar language about adding to or taking away from God's commands.
Okay.
It's all tied to this idea of covenant faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
He suggests that the real danger isn't messing with the words on the page, but failing to live out the commitment of the covenant.
So it's not just about preserving a text, but embodying a way of life.
Yes. It's about aligning our lives with the very essence of the new covenant, allowing it to shape everything we do, everything we think, all our relationships.
Mm.
You know, this whole idea of the new covenant being enacted but not fully realized yet makes me wonder.
Yeah, me too.
What about that not yet part?
Right.
What does Matthewson say about the future of the new covenant? He talks about the consummated new covenant.
Okay.
This glorious future when all of God's promises are fully realized. He takes us back to Revelation 21:1-4, that incredible vision of the new heaven and new earth where God dwells with his people and wipes away every tear.
It's such a beautiful and hopeful picture, like a glimpse into the ultimate fulfillment of everything the new covenant promises.
Exactly. But Matthewson doesn't want us just sitting around waiting for that future paradise.
Right.
He reminds us that we can experience the power and reality of the new covenant right now.
Okay.
It's all about living out its implications in our lives today.
So it's not about escaping this world, but about transforming it.
Right. It's about allowing the new covenant to shape our values, our priorities, and our relationships, bringing a little piece of that future glory into the present.
And speaking of relationships, Matthewson brings up another fascinating theme that's intertwined with the new covenant, the people of God.
Oh, that's something I've always been curious about. How does the new covenant impact our relationships with each other? Well, Matthewson points out that the new covenant doesn't just change our relationship with God. It fundamentally changes our relationships with each other.
Hmm.
It creates a new community, a people united by the Spirit and marked by love.
That sounds like a huge departure from the old covenant, which focused on a specific ethnic group.
It is. The new covenant transcends those boundaries.
Okay.
It creates a global family, a people drawn from every tribe and nation.
That's powerful. Where do we see this idea playing out in the New Testament?
Yeah, that's amazing. It's like the circle just keeps getting bigger.
Right, exactly.
But was this whole idea of a new people of God always accepted so easily?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Matthewson points out that this whole concept caused a lot of tension in the early church.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's such a different way of thinking about things.
Exactly. Including Gentiles into this new community, it led to some pretty big debates and disagreements.
Oh, I bet. You know, remember a lot of Jewish believers at the time, they were really rooted in their understanding of God's covenant with Israel.
Right, right.
So this idea of expanding the covenant to include everyone,
it
was a huge challenge to how they saw the world.
That makes sense. It's hard to let go of beliefs that you've held for so long, even when you're presented with new information.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like the early church had some growing pains as they tried to figure this whole thing out.
Well, they did. And Matthewson highlights how the book of Acts actually documents these struggles.
Hmm.
It shows how the early church really wrestled with questions of, you know, identity and tradition and what this new community formed by the new covenant actually met.
So they were kind of figuring it out as they went along, just like we are today.
Exactly.
Because let's be honest, we're still wrestling with some of these same issues even now.
Absolutely.
You see it in debates about the role of the law, the relationship between Israel and the church, and even just in how we interact with people who are different from us.
Mm-hmm. It's true. These aren't easy questions. And Matthewson doesn't pretend to have all the answers.
Right.
But he does offer a helpful way of looking at these complicated issues. He reminds us that the new covenant doesn't just erase the importance of Israel in God's plan.
Okay.
It's not about replacement. It's about fulfillment. God's promises are being fulfilled in a way that includes everyone.
It's not either. It's both hand.
Exactly.
That's really helpful. It reminds me of that image of the expanding circle. It's not about shrinking the circle to fit our limited understanding. It's about embracing the fullness of God's plan, which includes all people.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to the challenge we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
How do we live out this radical inclusivity in our own lives and in our communities? How do we build bridges and overcome prejudices and really embrace the beautiful diversity of the people of God?
It's a big challenge, but it's also incredibly inspiring. It makes you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself, something that's making a difference in the world.
It does. It really does.
You know, it reminds me of something Mathewson said about transformed lives being the true evidence of the new covenant.
Right.
If that's true, and if those transformed lives are meant to be lived out in community, then the real impact of the new covenant should be visible in how we love and serve and impact the world around us.
Absolutely.
It's not just about our own individual salvation. It's about collective transformation.
That's such a powerful way to put it.
Yeah.
The new covenant isn't just some abstract theological concept. It's a living reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's a force that can change individuals, communities, and ultimately the world.
This has been such a thought-provoking deep dive. I feel like I have a much deeper understanding of the new covenant and what it means for me, both personally and as part of a community. What stands out to you most from all of this?
You know, for me, it's the idea that the new covenant isn't just about rules and regulations.
Yeah.
It's about a fundamental change of heart, a deep internal transformation that impacts every part of our lives, including our relationships with each other.
It's a call to live differently, to love more fully, and to build a community that really reflects God's heart.
I love that. It reminds me of that quote we talked about earlier from Galatians, where Paul says, "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female."
Right.
That's a vision worth striving for, you know?
Yeah.
A community where those old dividing lines are gone, and we're all truly united in Christ. It makes me wonder, what would happen if we really lived out that vision in our own lives and communities?
What a great question to think about.
That's what I love about these deep dives. They always give us so much to consider and explore, even after the episode is over. So keep thinking about this, keep wrestling with these ideas, and maybe even share what you've learned with someone else. Who knows? You might just spark a whole new conversation about the power and the relevance of the new covenant in our lives today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.